Now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan joins Press Row. This segment of Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Test drive your dream vehicle today at 2136 Chapman Road. Kia of Chattanooga.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with show producer Wells Guthrie here in the Action247.com studios. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. Well, it is always a pleasure to welcome in Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, former quarterback at NC State, former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, former head coach at Marshall, former head coach at Georgia. In our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road, 423-855-1022. Whether it's a Soul, Optima, Sorento, Sportage, Telluride, whatever you need, they will take care of you. Lots of fantastic models, lots of deals. Go see Kia of Chattanooga. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. Big weekend of college football coming up. Very excited about it and certainly looking forward to talking to you today. I guess Jay, after Auburn almost lost, didn't want to talk about it, so he's out of the office today, right?
I guess so. I have never taken – and I get it. His kids are lined up to where they go to the same system, and they can take a fall break, and he's capitalizing on that, and kudos to him. But I've just never had I've never been wired to take a vacation in the fall. Got a little too much football writing to do. Kind of like you. I mean, I don't think you could exactly take a week off before you played Tennessee or Florida.
Well, the way we played sometime, it looked like we had. But certainly, it's definitely something that I'm. Hey, everybody's got to do what they got to do. But he's going to have a hard time next week coming back when after South Carolina gets after Auburn.
All right, I will say this. It's hard to believe that Tennessee and Georgia played last weekend just because of what all has happened since. I mean, you're talking about two SEC games that have been canceled or postponed, I should say. The news with Nick Saban last night. It just seems like it's been a long time since last weekend took place.
Well, when we started the fall season, we talked about that there was going to be some cancellations, and it's just pretty much emblematic of what the whole society's dealing with. You know, certainly my thoughts and prayers are out for Coach Saban. Anybody our age, he's a few years younger than me, but it certainly is very concerning when you get to get COVID. I know that he's saying he's okay, but you know, the football seems immaterial when you got this disease. So I feel like, you know, that was a long time ago, even though it was just about a week ago. But you talk about what's a long time ago. It's 1984. That's the last time Kentucky beat Tennessee back in Knoxville. So that's a long time ago now.
All right, let's talk about the Georgia-Tennessee game. Just if I had to ask you general thoughts, general take, what was your reaction to how that game transpired?
Well, it was, you know, a very funky first half, and Tennessee did a lot of good things, took advantage of Georgia's mistakes. But in the end, it was pretty evident Georgia had more manpower. That's just the way it is when you're trying to rebuild a program that, like Jeremy's trying to do when he took over a team that was really didn't have a lot of talent. But see a lot of potential in that Tennessee team, but at the same time, you know, when you turn the ball over against a team like Georgia, I mean, it makes you pay. But I was surprised they couldn't run the ball any better against Georgia. But at the same time, Georgia's defense is kind of stifling. But overall, it was I thought the score would be decisive, but it was just the two halves. There's no way to look at it. You know, Tennessee played good enough to win in the first half and not good enough to win in the second.
I mean, I know you watch these games from a different perspective, having coached, and you'll go back and watch some of these games a second time. If I had to ask you just kind of position areas, where did you see the biggest mismatch that resulted in the outcome?
You know, I don't really know that I could say without looking at the tape as vividly as these coaches study. But, you know, going into the game, we knew that Tennessee would probably – have a hard time protecting a passer against Georgia, and they did. And they, you know, I think Georgia pressured them like 19 times out of 40 attempts. But and then the receivers, although the one kid had two great catches, you know, for the most part, we're kind of stifled. But I would just say the biggest surprise was that Tennessee didn't get any more movement on our defensive line. I thought that they'd do that, you know, with all the hoopla about how good their line was. And I thought Tennessee did a good job defending Georgia's run, too. It was really, you know, I thought both teams struggled to run the ball. But and Tennessee had to pay a little bit for trying to double so much on Pickens. Certainly Jackson did a good job on him, you know, catching the ball. But I think Tennessee, this week we'll talk about the games in the second part of the show, but this is a big game for Tennessee to prove that they're the next best team in the East, along with Florida. If they can get this win over Kentucky, they're really playing to see which one of those teams will be the strongest the rest of the year.
Coach, you know in your career, if you lose a game, either the coach gets it or the quarterback gets it, sometimes both. And Jarrett Garantano, you know, had a really nice first half, 11 of 13. I think his passer rating was like 215. But, you know, that third quarter, you know, the fumbles, the interception, that passer rating started spiraling. You've got Tennessee fans that are upset he's even still the quarterback. But Jeremy Pruitt was asked after Saturday's game and then again on Monday, you know, and he's like, look, he's our best guy. He gives us the best chance of winning. What do you think of Garantano as a quarterback?
I think anybody that's getting on him about that game needs to go take a drink. I mean, seriously, look at the protection he had. Both of those plays where he fumbled, the best quarterback in the country would have gotten the ball knocked loose. So, you know, it's not just the quarterback's fault when you have those strip sacks like that. So when you hit from the blind side, we see the best players in America, college, pro, high school, everybody. And he certainly had everybody was pretty high on him during those eight games they were winning in that first half against us when he was winning. So as long as he's got a good supporting cast, he's a very good quarterback. But he's not the kind of guy that's going to win the game by himself. He needs the help. So if they thought they had somebody better over there, they'd be playing him, I guarantee you. Jeremy and Coach Chaney, they don't mind making a change, but I feel like the kid's a very good competitor, and as long as he gets protection, he can torch you.
It's evident Tennessee has talent. It's evident that Georgia has lots and lots and lots of talent. Out of 10 games between those two, how many do you think Georgia would win by multiple scores?
Man, I tell you, that's hard to project that. I don't know about out of 10, but I know it's pretty obvious that their best chance is for Georgia to help them like they did in the first half at this point. But I don't know. We'll see over the next 10 years because they're going to play. But right now, Georgia has a decided advantage in the talent. It's pretty obvious, but they should have. They got a head start on them. But that'd be hard for me to project, but I just don't see on a neutral field or home and home at all. I mean, I don't think Tennessee's ready to compete with Georgia if they both play their best game. But if Georgia knocks itself in the foot like it did last week, then Tennessee could probably play with them.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road, 423-855-1022. Coach, some other games that took place. Of course, everybody – Tennessee and Georgia were the CBS game, but the one that everybody seems to be talking about was how nobody could stop anybody in Alabama Ole Miss, 63-48, the highest scoring regulation game in conference history.
You know, I'm not really shot in the butt with that game because when you look at last year, the score was 59-31. The same players playing for both teams pretty much, and a different coach in Matt Luke, and now a different quarterback and plan for with Corral. But, you know, I think the head coach, Lane Kiffin, deserves a lot of credit. But you also got to take the blame, too. They got probably the worst defense that has been in the SEC in a long time. And I know you inherit players and all that, but, you know, I think certainly the biggest difference in the team is Ole Miss defense is just so bad that and Alabama's really good on offense, no question about it. But I don't think they're, you know, one of the best ever yet. They got to prove that. Maybe they will be if they do it all year at the clip they're doing. But just saw absolutely no defense from Alabama in that game either. They couldn't get lined up. So we don't run the spread hurry up stuff that Ole Miss does. So I don't know how we'll do against these guys this week, but I think certainly I wasn't surprised at the ease with which Alabama scored, because they've been doing it. They scored 62 in 2018, 59 in 2019. It's 63 this year. So that's pretty much the same old song against Ole Miss.
You know, and after the game, of course, Lane Kiffin talks about perhaps COVID has affected why these games are so high scoring, with a lack of tackling and fundamentals, with no spring ball. You're hearing some coaches on the offensive side talk about cohesion on the line when you didn't have everybody in preseason camp if people were in quarantine. So, I mean, those, and just getting on the Zoom meetings that I do, it seems like you hear about the lack of fundamentals hurting the defense so far, and then the lack of cohesion on the offensive line being two potential aspects that COVID may have affected already to this point, before the postponements even started this week.
Yeah, I can see that to a certain extent, maybe the first of the year. But, I mean, these guys have been practicing since August. It's not like they'd started playing without any practice. I mean, they had 26 days of practice, and they had all that meeting in the spring and summer with Zoom and all. But, I mean, fundamentally, maybe tackling could be different. You see a lot of missed tackles on kicks, too. I mean, a lot of punt returns. But I'm not a privy to watching these teams practice, so I don't know what they're doing. I know teams that are really playing well on defense are the ones that are getting people down and not missing tackles, that's for sure.
When you look at some of the assistant coaches in the SEC, Todd Grantham had a horrible day. Bo Pelini had a horrible day. Someone who escaped a horrible day is Chad Morris. Obviously a very controversial Bo Nix spike and the ruling on that enabled Auburn to escape, because that would have been a brutal loss for Chad Morris.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough call there at the end of the game. You got to expect that the officials will make it. I know I was watching it after the end of our game, and I was saying, hey, that's a backward pass. But you'd think that with the time that they have to consult the people at the SEC, that they would make that call. And particularly after they missed it, I would have liked the SEC to say, hey, we missed it. But they kind of CYA with their response, you know, about it wasn't listed as that and all that. But I thought the real telling story in the game was at the end of the game when the Arkansas Razorbacks, after the kid missed the field goal and they had 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go, and Arkansas knew that Auburn had three timeouts, really didn't do much with the ball. And I think certainly if I'm Arkansas at the pregame meal, and I know I got one chance to win the game at the end of the game, if I can make one first down, I'm going to be pretty happy. And they didn't really do anything. And I thought it was very poor coaching on Browse's part, the play calling and everything involved. I thought he did a really good job calling the game up to that point. But they've been torching Auburn. And, you know, hey, you know you want to protect the lead, but, you know, you don't want to give the other team the ball back. But as far as Chad Morris, I'm sure he's in the fetal position. And he's even more so this week going into South Carolina, because I don't think he's ever coached a win at that stadium. He's 1-3 against the South Carolina Gamecocks. I don't know where he won the game. He might have won it at South Carolina when Watson was there. But their offense is all about Tank Bigsby, and they got to find some way to spread it around, and because they're going against a lot better defense and offense this week than they played against Arkansas.
And then finally last week, one of the most aesthetically hideous games you will ever see, Mississippi State, 45 of 70 passing, 6 interceptions, no offensive points, 2 points total. Coach, I saw a stat where, like, Mississippi State and Kentucky each averaged under 4 yards per pass. That had to be just horrible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kentucky fans were mad about looking so good and winning, but, I mean, losing now, they look pretty average on offense and won, so I don't know where the paradox is there. But certainly the 16 punts in one game, that's a lot. And that's including warm-ups, that's a lot. And that's what they had in that game. So I think there's certainly Coach Stoops said to Eddie Graham, hey, we're going to sit on it and make these guys beat us, and they couldn't. I mean, they turned the ball over. They continue to turn it over, and it's a good win for the Cats. But I thought that was a pretty good description. You said it was aesthetically not pleasing or something like that. That's a good way to say it makes you sick to watch football like that.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at games coming up this week as we visit with Jim Donnan, our segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
This segment of Press Row has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, award-winning vehicles and courteous, honest service. Kia of Chattanooga. Former UGA head football coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan is back on Press Row. Presented by Kia of Cleveland. Browse Kia's award-winning lineup of vehicles at kiaofcleveland.com.
Welcome back in the Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with show producer Wells Guthrie here in the Action247.com studios as we rejoin with Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, in this segment brought to you by Kia of Cleveland, 2492 South Lee Highway, 423-693-0505. Souls, Optimus, Sorrentos, Sportages, Tellurides, they have it all at Kia of Cleveland, and they will hook you up with the best deal possible. All right, as we turn to this week, let's get a couple of appetizers out of the way before we get to the main course. You touched on it a little bit in the last segment. Auburn traveling to South Carolina. South Carolina has never defeated Auburn since joining the SEC Bagel and Eight. But you think this might be it?
Well, you never know. I mean, I'm not going to go out on a big limb on it because South Carolina doesn't show me a lot, particularly at the skill level, wide receiver and all that. But they got a very good, effective running game, and they throw the ball to Harris, and he runs it pretty good. So, you know, Auburn has struggled defensively. They just don't have near the front that they had. And you expect them to struggle a little bit with losing Britt, a really good linebacker for thumb surgery. And offensively, offensive line looks like a revolving door. They just can't, you know, protect at all. So I don't know. I think it'll be a kind of a Donnybrook game. Maybe somebody gets a break, and it should be a tight fit game. But I know South Carolina will definitely attack them. They'll Bobo will have a good plan for them.
Neyland Stadium. Tennessee has won 17 straight series meetings over Kentucky. Auburn, South Carolina at noon, Tennessee, Kentucky at noon. How do you see the one in Knoxville transpiring?
You know, I think this is a really pivotal part of the season for both teams, as I mentioned in the first segment, because you want to establish yourself in the Eastern Division, and it's a rivalry-type game that has a lot of implications, recruiting, and proving that you know, making that step to be competitive with Georgia and Florida and you know, the rest of the SEC. Looks like in the East that, you know, Missouri might be a little better than we thought. Vanderbilt's probably still down. South Carolina is getting better. So, but you got to go head to head with a team that's very similar to you. And I think I give Tennessee a little bit of edge there throwing the ball. You know, Kentucky just hadn't been able to do that much, but both offense and defensive lines for Kentucky are good. So it should be a tight fit, low scoring game.
All right, and I think there's one in Bryant-Denny Stadium that you might want to weigh in on. First off, have you ever experienced anything like Alabama's going through, the potential, all this talk about Nick Saban and his former assistants instead of Saban Smart? It looks like we could be looking at Sarkisian Smart.
Yeah, I've never been involved where the coach from the other team didn't coach. I have been some games where the coach had been fired and, you know, you went against a temporary coach. But I think, you know, in a game like this, Nick is certainly, and everybody knows that it's followed. People listening to the show know that he's definitely the patriarch of the program. And he runs it with an iron hand and he makes every decision. But once the game starts, he lets the coordinators call it for sure. But he makes a lot of the kicking decisions and things like that. But, you know, it's got to be a little bit of a downer for him knowing that the head man's not going to be there. But they've got a great supporting cast and they got a lot of good assistant coaches. And the thing about Sarkisian, he's been a head coach at Washington and at Southern California, and he's been in a lot of big games as a coach in pro and college. So it's definitely, you know, kind of a downer, but at the same time, it's going to come down to what happens between the lines with the players more than anything.
All right, in your career, when you were facing an interim coach replacing a guy who had gotten fired and you whooped up on him, what do you say to a guy at midfield after a game like that?
Well, if he's the interim coach, you don't say a whole lot. If he's a coach that's already got fired, you just say, hey, let me know if I can do anything to help you. And, you know, basically, not much you can say. I mean, most of the time those guys finish off the season, but it's not much you can do, really. But that's just the way it is. I mean, it's a cruel world here with college football. But right now, I don't see a lot of coaches getting fired this year. I just don't think, COVID-wise, you don't see a lot of that.
Is Stetson Bennett ready for this moment?
Absolutely. This kid is really a good player. I would stack him up with the quarterback for Mac Jones. I mean, he doesn't have quite the offensive line that Jones has. It doesn't have as many receivers, but a lot more mobile. And he goes against a defense every day. He's gone against it for 3 years here. That's quite comparable to anyone in the country going against our defense. And he's having a great year. I mean, third down production, everything about him. I think he'll go into that stadium and play lights out.
And, you know, when you think about watching football on TV, we know there are a lot of big kids out there. But I don't know if anybody truly has a perspective, unless you're on that field standing next to them. When you look at guys the size of Jordan Davis at Georgia or Evan Neal at Bama or Alex Leatherwood at Bama, I mean, there are going to be some absolute gargantuan guys up front in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, if the fans listen to the show and just pretend that they're playing against everybody on the line looks like Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, that's about what you're looking at. These guys are just mammoth, and you get – these backs behind them, you know, Najee Harris is 6'3", 230, coming at you like a pile driver. So it's just their offense has just been very effective. The guy's hitting close to 80%. They do a really good job of play action, and it just put a lot of pressure on your defense down after down. So, but, you know, it's strength against strength. Georgia has a really good defense. They got good cover guys, and they can pressure the quarterback. The real key to me is can Georgia get enough pressure on Mac Jones to get him off his spot and maybe where he can't rhythm throw, you know, where he's just not standing back there and just trying to go 1-2-3, find one of these guys open. You know, he has an uncanny percentage of throws that have been completed where a guy has one step on everybody. You know, I mean, he's hit a lot of those balls where guys are already one step ahead of people. And I guarantee if they got that against us and he has time to throw, he'll hit them because he's a very good deep passer.
Wells had never heard pile driver the other day, looked it up, and just thought it was hysterical. So the fact that you just used the pile driver reference is classic.
No. It was that I had heard of pile driver, but I couldn't imagine what it actually
okay,
was.
Okay, so he had to look it
head.
Up online. Yeah. So now he's got the image of what
a
pile driver is.
You know, he's a well-traveled guy, but, you know, pile driver guy is just going to pound you into submission, man. Najee Harris, I mean, can you imagine a secondary coach saying, hey, take him on.
No thanks.
Secondary coach. Hey, coach, you take him on. I mean, good gracious, he's a tremendous player. And that was a great move by Nick getting him to come back. I mean, you know, I think he could be playing in the pros right now.
All right, we've only got about a minute left. I know last week you hit on North Carolina, you hit on Clemson, you did not hit on Georgia Tech. They actually had that really nice fourth quarter at Bobby Dodd.
Yeah, I can't believe how good Tech played, and Louisville looked like they hadn't even practiced. That was a bad pick by the old coach. I mean, Tech seems to have a good quarterback now, and that running back really
he's from here, Dalton.
Gibbs. Yeah, Gibbs. He's a good player. So
Well, I know you're –
it's always good when Tech – Jake's at least being competitive, and they're doing that
they are. I know we've only got a few seconds left, but do you have any picks this week? I know you'll probably want to stay away from Georgia and Bama, right?
Yeah, I really like Virginia against Wake Forest. Virginia Tech is playing BC. I like BC getting the points, and I'm going to go with South Carolina Gamecocks getting the points, too.
Wow. All righty. Well, Coach, as always, great stuff. Have a wonderful weekend, and looking forward to next week when we recap what transpires in Tuscaloosa.
We definitely will, and we appreciate both the Kia dealerships in Cleveland and Chattanooga sponsoring this show. And I know they got a lot of good deals out there, and hope we can get some of these people out there this weekend and then go watch Tennessee play and then watch Georgia play.
Sounds great. Great job as always. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, Jim Donnan, the Hall of Famer, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Cleveland.
This segment of Press Row has been made possible by Kia of Cleveland, where they can help with any automotive needs you may have. 2492 South Lee Highway, Kia of Cleveland.